Welcome to the Key Hire Small Business Podcast, your go-to resource for tackling challenges and empowering small business owners to scale successfully. Our mission is to help unlock your business's full potential. My name's Corey Harlock, and I'll be your host. So it's that time of year. People are out there planning for 2024. They're getting ready to do their goals. They've already done them. And a key part of hitting any goal in your company is making sure you have the right leadership team. So how do you know if you're building a functional, cohesive, healthy leadership team? How do you know if you have the right people on the bus? How do you know if they can get you where you want to go? Even though they may be the people who got you here, are they the people to get you there? Welcome to the Key Hire Podcast recording. My name is Corey Harlock. I'll be your host today. We are doing season 2, episode 8, I think, Matt. Does that sound right to you? And we're getting ready for the holidays. Today we have Rusty Smith with us. He's a longtime friend. He's been in the EOS world as an implementer for, I think, a lot of years. He's worked with small business owners for 20 years, so he knows this space really well. And to drive that point home, he actually he taught in the entrepreneur program at the University of Houston here in Texas for a while too. So working with small business owners is what Rusty does. I've had the privilege of working alongside him with a couple different clients and know the work he does, and consider myself really fortunate to know him and be able to work with him. So today, let's talk about how to build a functional, cohesive, and healthy leadership team. Matt, let's bring Rusty in. Mr. Smith, how you doing?
Good, Corey. How are you doing?
Good. Did I get it right?
You're so formal today, Mr. Smith.
I know. We're not out for lunch. I can't, you know, we got to. Matt has told me for the algorithms, I can't swear so much because they don't like it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, Rusty, you and I have known each other, I've probably about 5 years or something like that, feels like.
It's been a while, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how long have you been working in the EOS world?
So I started working in the EOS world in 2014. So what is that, 9 years
ago?
Yeah. Yeah, just started. I've been doing the alternative board for longer than that, but I started doing EOS just for my members of the alternative board, and then now I'm actually helping other companies as well.
And people on this who listen to this podcast know I am a huge champion of EOS. I think it's a great tool. It's effective. It's nothing's 100%, but the majority of the businesses I work with that use EOS are the ones that seem to grow faster and more effectively.
Which is good news for you, because most of the companies I work with, I've referred you in. So there we go. Because yeah, they're growing fast, they need to hire good people, right?
Yeah, you get them when they're a little, a little more disaligned, and you align them up for me so I can go in and do what I do. Cool. So we're talking about team building today, and I'm curious to know what your definition of a functional, cohesive, and healthy team is. How do you define that?
Well, you know, one of the things that I hear from a lot of the people that I end up working with are getting people on the same page. A functional, healthy, cohesive team are on the same page. They know where they're going. They know how they're going to get there. In the EOS world, we call that vision, right? They build the accountability and discipline in order to actually achieve those goals, and we call that traction. And they work together, and as we say, a functional, cohesive team, they have a high level of trust. They depend on each other. They hold each other accountable. They know that if one member of the team says they're going to do something, they do it. And that they work as a unit, as opposed to individual, silos of departments, if you will.
In your opinion, how important is, we're always talking about scaling and growing.
Mm-hmm.
How important is it to have those elements in a team to scale or grow your business?
Well, it's crucial, right? If the leadership team can't depend on each other and there is no trust in that team, they're going to second guess each other. They're not going to be, you know, on the same page. They're not going to have, you know, healthy conflict, if you will. To, you know, one of the favorite you know, books that we use is Patrick Lencioni's The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. Right, you got to have trust in order to have healthy conflict. You got to have healthy conflict in order to get commitment, and you got to have commitment in order to have accountability, and that leads to results. And so, can companies function, you know, with a uncohesive, non-functional, unhealthy team? Maybe for a while, but to really get that scalability and that growth, they've got to get everybody working together. They've got to start functioning as a unit, as opposed to a collection of individuals. So in my mind, it's crucial. It's absolutely crucial.
It's funny, that word trust has come up in my conversations and on this podcast more in the last 6 months than I think it ever has. And I don't know why, but it certainly, in my experience, has been the key, especially when we're putting a new leader into a business. We've developed a new role, and we talk about the owner having to trust the person who's bringing more experience to that area of the business than they might have. But also we talk about that new leader having to build and earn the trust of that owner. Mm. And if they can kind of, you know, bit by bit work back and forth, they expand that trust. And then it's kind of freeing for both of them, because they can, once they trust each other, they can just get after it and do what they do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, you know, that trust building happens from the day that, you know, well, from the day they get, you know, they look at your resume, if you will,
right,
through the interviewing process, through the hiring process, through the onboarding process. And then once you get into, you know, the day-to-day activities, you know, it takes a long time to build that trust. And so, you know, when you first bring on a new team member, you know, there's always this, okay, is he one of us, or is he, you know, is he going to fit, you know, so on and so forth. Right. And it takes a long time to build that trust, but I tell you, it takes a second to lose that trust. And right. So when we talk about trust and how that manifests itself in, you know, the leadership team of a small, mid-sized business, it's really about, you know, doing what you say you're going to do, following through. It's, you know, things we've learned all of our lives, right? Is, you know, do what you say you're going to do, you know, follow up on your commitments, and, you know, and so on and so forth. And so it takes a long time to build that trust. You know, and what happens when you start to have that trust is you're more open about your issues and your challenges of your company. And you're willing to ask for help, right? People who don't trust each other, I'm not going to ask you for help if I don't trust you, or I'm not going to, you know, tell you about the issues I'm having in my department if I don't trust you. And I think you might use that against me, right? Right. And so you have to have that high level of trust in order to get the team, you know, working together to solve problems, because you can't solve a problem unless you know about it. You can't, you know, and so you have to be open and honest about, you know, what you are struggling with. And, you know, if you do, I mean, I'm just going to give a simple example. If one of my employees in my department isn't cutting it, right, isn't making the grade, and I don't have a high level of trust, I'm probably going to hide that. I'm probably going to try to mask it. I'm probably going to try to cover it up. Whereas if there's a high level of trust, I'm going to be very open with the rest of the team and saying, look, you know, I've got this team member who's not quite cutting it, and I'm getting ready to make a decision on what to do about this. Any advice that you guys have for this, right? That takes a lot of vulnerability to be able to have that discussion with your peers. And you're not going to exhibit that vulnerability unless you have that trust built up.
So. I agree. So we're going to get into more of the nitty gritty here, because we talked about, you know, what a high functioning team looks like, right? Everyone pulling on the rope in the same direction, everyone working towards the same goals, everyone being held accountable, everyone delivering. what in your experience or through EOS are some of the mistakes a business owner might make while they build out their leadership team? Or they're either building it out or they're, you know, they're relying on their existing people, believing that they're the right people to get the job done.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty interesting question, Corey, because and I don't want to keep harping on the trust thing, but it's so important. Well, it starts at the top, right? So if the leader of the organization, the person at the top of the organization, doesn't trust, you know, his or her people, then they're not going to be open and honest about what they want to get out of the business, right? So having that again, that vulnerability about saying, look, I want to build this company and here's what I'm trying to build, and being able to paint that picture for the other leaders on the organization and get them to see the same picture that they see, right? That's kind of a vulnerable thing to do, because, you know, they could look at you and say, hey, dude, you're out of your mind. What are you thinking? We can't do that, right? Or that's just outlandish or whatever, right? And so that to be able to articulate your vision and say, here's what I'm trying to achieve as a company, and I need you guys to be able to help me do it, because I can't do it myself, right? And so you've got to get the folks on board to doing it. And that's pretty vulnerable for a leader to do, is to say, I need your help. That's why I hired you, right? If we didn't need a leadership team, we'd all be, you know, solopreneurs as opposed to entrepreneurs. And so we've got to have those people, and then we've got to be open and honest with them and say, here's what we're trying to achieve. You know, one of the big discussions that we always have is how much do I share with the team, especially when it comes to finances, right? But other areas as well, even what the plans are, you know, the 3-year picture, the 10-year target, you know, and the 1-year plans and so on and so forth, right? But man, what the finances is the one where they say, whoa, how can I trust that, you know, I can share this with the team, not only the leadership team, but with the whole organization about how we stand from a financial health point of view. It's actually pretty important to do that. You know, here's the bottom line, is people want to work for a successful company. And if you don't share, you know, the finances, for instance, then everybody assumes that the owner's just getting rich. You know, if you don't share the vision of where you want to take the company, the rank and file just assume you don't have any idea where the company's headed. You're just kind of getting through it day to day, right? And so a big part of building trust is having that openness and transparency, even at for the whole company at every level of the organization. So finance, operations, plans, that vulnerability and that trust come into play all throughout all of this.
And so to add on to that, just as you're talking, I kind of had a light bulb moment, but we've identified 5 stages of growth with Key Hire for small business owners. And it starts kind of with a paralyzed business owner. And that's where they have the team they started with, business is gone, and they have no time and they just need relief. You know, the business owners I'm talking about. Everyone's doing everything. They're not really that well organized. It's a bunch of good people doing the best job they can. And, you know, at this point, their only input would be time. The only way to grow the business is if we all work longer and harder, which is not a good place to be. No. And then the next progression is the unsure business owner, where they may have a good leader or two, but they have a problem in their business. They're not executing. You know, the old operation says sales is selling things and promising unrealistic deadlines, and sales is saying, well, we can't sell because they can't produce it on time. We got a problem. We just don't know what it is and why it's happening. And then the third progression, kind of the middle ground, is the curious business owner, where they're like, hey, I think I have a problem in my operations. I think that leader might not have what it takes to move the business. But what just occurred to me is, when you're in that paralyzed state and everyone's doing everything, It's hard to trust because people are falling down all the time because they're really overmatched in terms of the volume of business, and they've probably never been there before and they don't have the tools. And in my experience, when you start putting really good, experienced people into these leadership roles, the thing we hear a lot is, well, we paid big money for this person and they didn't work out. And that kind of erodes that trusting of these people coming in. And it makes me think that building trust is a pretty complicated thing, because a lot of these business owners have been burned, or they think they've been burned by someone who just couldn't handle, who, because they wanted to be a good soldier, said, yeah, I'll take that on. And then they failed because they didn't have the experience or the capacity, to use an EOS word, to get the job done, or get it done on time, or get it done correctly. So it makes me realize the importance of getting the right people in. And I'm sure, you know, once, so we have a business owner who's ready to trust the right person. And we also talked, I know how important culture is in the EOS world. So maybe we can talk a bit about, okay, we've established kind of a trust baseline. What would you say is the next mistake, other than that kind of, okay, I'm ready to make a move. What might be the next mistake they make?
So we just had this conversation this morning. I had a tab board meeting this morning, and one of the things that we talked about is, you know, hanging on too long, right? Once you realize that you've got the wrong person, and this may be somebody that you'd recently hired, or this may be someone that has been with you for a while, and they're just not going to be able to progress and get to that next level that they need to get to, is to take action. Just, you know, the old adage in the HR world is, you know, hire slow, fire fast, right? Is once you realize that you have the wrong person, go ahead and take action. I was with an EOS client last week, and they were talking about an employee who, she just wasn't going to work out, right? And so they were talking about, you know, replacing her and so on and so forth. And then later in the meeting, they said something about, okay, well, one of the things that we need to get done this quarter is to put this person on a process or a performance improvement plan, a PIP.
PIP.
Right. Yeah. And I said, wait a minute. I said, I thought y'all had already made the decision that she wasn't going to work out. Right. Yeah. So we're going to put her on a PIP for 90 days and then we're going to let her go. I'm like, why? If you know if you already know the answer is, why put her on a 90-day performance improvement plan just to let her go? Do it now, right? So waiting too long, dragging your feet, because, you know, quite frankly, letting people go is hard, right?
It sucks.
Even if it's somebody that you've only had for a couple of weeks, right? And you realize right away that that's not going to be, you know, the person that you thought you hired wasn't the person that showed up for work. You've got to, you know, take that action as quickly as possible. So I think waiting too long is probably the second biggest issue that a lot of people's, mistake that a lot of people make.
Hey, it's Corey. And if you like what you're hearing, give this episode a thumbs up and subscribe or follow to get reminders of new episodes of the Key Hire Small Business Podcast.
And to I agree 100%. And I'll just give another side of that. Sometimes we go back to that paralyzed business owner who, you hire your friends, you hire your neighbors, you hire the friends of your neighbors, right, to start your business. That's just
the way I've heard it said is that you never hire anybody you can't fire, right?
Yeah. Well, when you start a business, you just hire anyone who wants to get on board, and they kind of start assuming roles. And if everyone does a good job, the inevitability is the business will outgrow the ability of some or all of those people. Mm. And I tell my business owners all the time, without question, the hardest decision you will ever make in this business is going to one of these people that's been shoulder to shoulder with you for the last 5-10 years to get your business where it is today, put in all the hours and been an amazing soldier for you. and having to tell them, thank you for getting me here, but you can't get me there. And it's brutal. It's gut-wrenching to have to do that because they're great people doing the best they can, you know?
Well, and sometimes, and actually most of the time, it's not that you have to get rid of that person. It's that maybe you need to hire somebody in between you and them, right? Yeah. And so how do you thread that needle of saying, look, we want to keep you in the organization. We think you're a great whatever, right? I need to hire, a manager over your department. And that's a hard conversation to have because you do run that risk of losing a good person just because you make that decision, right?
In my experience, I agree with you. We're dealing with human beings always, right? And if they've been with you that long, they have a family, they have a mortgage, they have kids in school, and all of that stuff. And so, terminating someone should never. The old adage of we'll hire them if they don't work out, we just fire them. That is, I don't prescribe to that at all.
Yeah, I agree because hiring somebody, it's expensive, right? It's not just what they pay you, Corey. It's also the time.
Thanks, Rusty. That's great.
It's the time, right? It's the onboarding process. It's the trial period. It's the, the time. And so if you go and you hire somebody and you hang on to them for, 3, 6, 9 months, hoping that they're going to improve, right? That's time wasted that you have to start all over again. And so that's an expensive process.
For sure.
Right.
And so that process is a person.
That's right.
Right. Absolutely. Who's going to be out of work. And has bills to pay and stuff like that, and that's kind of where I see it. And from that, the human aspect of it, that's so topic for another day. That's where having the right recruiting process is so important. So you can maximize the potential of getting it right, because all of the stuff we're talking about is expensive and gut-wrenching to have to do.
Well, and I'm going to take it a step further. It's not just a recruiting process. It's also a development process as well.
Right.
So what are you doing to develop those people? And so one of my very close friends who does both of what I do, both the alternative board and EOS, he's up in Vancouver. He just did a TED Talk and he talks about, we take our best, whatever, salesperson is the classic example, but your best engineer, your best, welder or whatever. And you promote them to be the manager of the welders, or you promote them to be the manager of the engineers. Well, the skills of being a great engineer are different from the skills of managing an engineering department. Right. And so we oftentimes, and he even goes through some statistics. He says, look, it's hard to get data on businesses, but it's easy to get data on sports. And so he talks about, in the sports world, some of the best players in the world who later became coaches or managers, how many of them actually succeeded?
Yeah, they're right? Not great coaches. Yeah.
Yeah. And he talked about Michael Jordan, right? Michael Jordan was one of the greatest players of all time, right? Sucked when he coached. Right.
I'm a Canadian. Wayne Gretzky did the same thing.
The only reason Wayne Gretzky lasted for 3 years, and this is he owned the team, right? Yeah. And he had three losing seasons, right? Yeah. Had he been a manager, and if he wasn't Wayne Gretzky, he would have been fired. He may not even last the first season, right? But there are exceptions, right? So there are some exceptions. Larry Bird, right, is one of the exceptions that Kevin talks about in his TED Talk. And Larry Bird was a great basketball player. He also turned out to be a great coach. Right. But if you extrapolate that to the business world, sometimes we take that great engineer, we promote them to engineering manager, and they're terrible at it. What do we do? Do we demote them back down to being an engineer? Well, actually they'd probably be happier if we did, but they lose face if you do that, right? And so you've got to handle those situations very carefully. So sometimes it's the better decision is to hire somebody in, or to be really careful about who you're promoting into a manager or a coach position. And to say, how much does this person mentor his or her peers? And if he does a great job of mentoring his or her peers, he's probably going to be a good manager. If he doesn't, then he's may not be a good manager. And so, looking at their people skills,
as a kind of subordinate, how are they going to be as a leader? Probably different. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's an interesting conversation. You know, I used to work in hospitality years ago, and that was the old syndrome you would have. You have an amazing server, and you think, oh, we need a manager. No one wants to be managers, because when you go from server to manager, you take a huge pay cut, work way more hours. But you take that best server and you convince them they want to be a manager. So they try it, and then they quit and go be a server in another restaurant. So not only did you lose your best server, but now you're down a manager too.
It happens in sales every day. You take your best salesperson, promote them to sales manager, and you have a terrible sales manager and you lost your best salesperson, right? Yeah. So it happens every day.
So I think kind of some of the points we've covered, just to summarize, you know, when we're building a team, trust is important. So hire people or promote people that you trust and they trust you, so you can build the right environment to be honest and open and vulnerable.
I would use a different word from promote. I'd say develop the people.
Fair enough. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we talked about the next is, you know, make sure we're putting the right people in the right seats, and understanding and being, you know, that's what we do, is we have this kind of really effective process to put people in business. It's, you know, over 90% effective, and we've done a long time developing it. So I understand the importance of that, but I also, you know, the flip side of that is we always want to maximize the probability of success, because we're dealing with human beings. It's never going to be 100%.
Absolutely.
And the other side of that is what is good tenure? I'm sure you've had these conversations, but when people hire someone, they're like, well, on their resume, every 4 years they leave their job. And I say, okay, great. What's your turnover here now? Well, it's 100%. What's your average tenure? Oh, like 18 months. Okay, so 4 years would be a huge upgrade. Like, let's start there. We're not hiring ever anyone for life, right? If we can get 3, 4, 6 years out of someone and they perform well and you're happy with their work and they move on to try and take on a new challenge, that is a success. And people always say, you know, well, they left after 3 years. But my business is up, you know, 50%, and everyone's happy. Like, that's okay. People,
got 3 years of their talent. Yeah.
As a business owner, we're locked in. But as employees, you know, what is that tenure you're looking to do? But on the other side is, if we've maximized our potential at making the right hire, and we understand what we're trying to do, but then people being people, something goes sideways and it's not working out, to at least start a conversation around, hey, what's going on? I think 2 episodes ago, we had Chris on here, and he's a mental health professional. And he talked about, we had a conversation around how far as an employer do we have to go to help employees that are having trouble, and how much grace do they get in there to improve their performance? And if anyone's listening, I recommend you go back and listen to that, because Chris was awesome. He brought up some really cool points. You know, if it's just a bad hire, it's a bad hire. Sometimes everyone's got a story, everyone's got a struggle. So it's having that conversation, starting that conversation. If it's just a bad fit, then you're right. We need to talk to them about, this might not be the right fit. Let's talk about an exit strategy. How can we get that done? For me, it's always being respectful of the person and understanding that, you know, I'll beat this drum again. But they have a mortgage, they have a family, they have kids in school. So let's just, because someone's not working in your business doesn't mean they're a horrible person. It just means it's not the right fit.
Well, you know, and you started off this conversation, or this part of the conversation, about, you know, what about long-term employees, right? If you have a long-term employee who is constantly trying to develop themselves, and you know, one of the conversations again we had this morning in the TAB board meeting is, you know, what do you do to develop yourself? What do you do to develop your employees? And what do you encourage your employees to do to develop themselves? If you have that long-term employee who is growing with the company and is, you know, growing in their capabilities and their knowledge, you know, maybe they've taken some classes, or maybe they read some books, or maybe they go out into the, you know, go to, you know, peer advisory groups, or go to go to, you know, just networking and stuff like that. People who are constantly improving themselves, they can grow with you and they can help you get to where you want, where you want to go. But those people in the organization that have been in with you for 10 years and they still are performing at the same level they did 10 years ago, then they're probably not the people that you want to have there. I'm gonna say something that I learned. One of my the guy who hired me at Compaq 40 years ago, I'm aging myself now. You know, his name was Vic Mahadevan. I need to give him credit for this. And one of the Vicisms, he had a lot of sayings. But one of the things he said is he would say, Rusty, he said, there's four types of people in the world. There's those that make it happen. There's those that help make it happen. There's those that watch it happen. And there are those who wonder what happened. Right. Well, you know, you don't want the last two. You don't want to be the last two, and you don't want those people in your organization, right? You want people, you know, as an entrepreneur, you're almost by definition one of those people that makes it happen. If you're not, then you probably stagnated and you're probably not going to be around much longer, right? But when you're building your leadership team, you need to hire people who are either making it happen or are willing to help make it happen, right? Preferably people that make it happen, right? Because as you work yourself, you know, one of the things that you want to do in building your leadership team is you want to work yourself out of a job. You want to get the team running the company as opposed to you running the company. A couple of the members of the TAB board this morning, they were talking about one is getting ready to take a 3-week vacation over the holidays, right? And he can go away for 3 weeks and he doesn't worry about his team being able to run the company. So you want to be able to hire those people that make it happen in addition to those that help make it happen. Right. But you don't want a whole lot of those people who watch it happen and who wonder what you certainly don't want anybody that wonder what's happening.
Wonders what happened. Yeah. Yeah.
Because there are a lot of people out there, those people that have stagnated and are still doing the same job they've done for the last 10 years. You know, they're probably not the people that you want to hang around.
Those are the people. So Eben Pagan, years ago, he gave a definition of kind of, and I hate the ABC employee kind of model, but it works in this. So he said the A's are the people you give them a task and, you know, they call you, they don't get you. So they knock on your door and they say, hey, I want to make sure I get this to you. I had a quick question, no weirdness. They deliver ahead of time or on time.
Don't worry about it. You don't worry about it, right?
Correct.
You know they're going to get it done.
Yep. The C player gives you a call. You don't pick up. Due date comes. They're like, hey, I tried to call you. You didn't call me back. So they get the work done kind of at expectation or a little below, on time or a little late, right? The C player creates distractions in the business so they don't have to do anything. He calls them black box builders. And their job isn't helping your business. Their job is preserving their own job. It's job preservation. And so a great example is, you know, you go to the accountant and they say, hey, walk me through our accounting process. And they say, great. And they pull out an abacus and you say, why don't we use Excel? And they say, oh no, Excel doesn't work for this business. We need to use the abacus. And then when they explain their job to you, they mix you up and twist you around to the point where you say, thank God you're here because I have no idea what you do. And those are the people that need to be immediately exited out of your business because there's no purview, there's no clarity, there's no transparency in what are you doing to help the business. And those are the people that are just kind of generally a huge constraint to your growth.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that came up in one of our quarterly collaborative exchanges with the EOS community recently is one of the newer implementers, raised an issue of, I have a leadership team and that I'm working with, and they've had some turnover in their leadership team. And, you know, what do I do? And the rest of the community was like, well, that happens, right? One of the things about EOS is that it actually shines a light on accountability and discipline and right. So on and so forth. And some people don't like that bright light shining on them. Right. And so the moderator of the session said, I want everybody to raise your hand. If you are still working with the exact same leadership team today that you were working on when you first started working with that client. Right. So those of you that have been working with a client for a year or more, right. No hands raised in the room. Right. Because quite frankly, you know, building a culture of discipline and accountability, there's nowhere to hide. And so those people that are trying to, that would last for years in a corporate environment, right? If there's nowhere to hide, they don't like that bright light. And so they'll either self-select out, or it just becomes so obvious that they're not the right person that you know you have to take action.
So Rusty, we've talked about what a good team looks like. We've talked about some of the things, the pitfalls, the what to be looking for, kind of the key elements or mistakes a business owner might make when they're assessing their team or trying to build a team. What would be the top 1, 2, 3 actions or pieces of advice you would give a small business owner who's getting ready for 2024 to be, this is going to be our year. Do I have the right leadership team in place? What are the top pieces of advice or action items you could give them?
So number one, I would say be very clear on where you think the company is headed, where you want the company to go, and have that discussion with your leadership team and get everybody to see the same picture that you're seeing, right? If you have people who aren't on the same page, then they're going to work at odds with you, right? So be very clear about sharing your vision. And then, what we talk about is, building the right culture, and people who fit. You mentioned a few minutes ago, getting the right people in the right seats, right? Well, the right seats is all about the organizational structure. We call it an accountability chart, right? But the right people is all about the culture. It's all about the sharing the same core values that you have. So being very deliberate about defining who fits in your organization and who doesn't fit, setting those expectations about, what you expect people to do, give them that vision, and then break that plan down. We always talk about how do you eat an elephant? Well, one bite at a time, right? And so, in EOS, we talk about a 10-year target, but then we break that down to a 3-year picture. We break that down to a 1-year plan. We break that down into quarterly rocks, right? And then there's weekly to-dos, right? And so everything is all about, putting the pieces in place to make that vision happen. One of the things that Gino Wickman, who developed the program and then wrote the book Traction that it's based on, he says is that, I'm probably going to misquote him here. Sorry, Gino, if you listen to this, but vision without traction is hallucination, right? And so you can have a great vision, but unless you have the accountabilities and discipline in place and the plans in place to actually make that vision a reality, it ain't going to happen, right? And so you can't do it all yourself. You've got to build your team. And so the big piece of advice that I would give to all the entrepreneurs out there is spend some time thinking about how to eliminate yourself from the business. If you ever want to sell your business, right, there's a few things that you need to do, right? But one of the most important things is to make the business not dependent on you.
Yeah.
And to do that, you've got to build a good leadership team. You've got to build, the title of this is a functional, healthy, and functional, cohesive, and healthy leadership team, right? And if you don't have a functional, cohesive, healthy leadership team, A, you're going to work way too hard a whole lot harder than you have to. You're not going to be able to take the long 3-week vacations or even longer vacations. And your company is not worth as much as it would be if you did have that strong leadership team in place. So job one for any business owner, or any leader for that matter, but a business owner in particular, is to build that strong team.
I agree. So, Rusty, we gave a lot of advice and we talked about a lot of stuff. And I know we talked about EOS at a very high level. And I know there's a lot of people out there like, EOS, that sounds complicated, but you and I both know it's not. It's actually one of the most simple leadership structures out there, and it's super effective. So if people are thinking, man, I love what Rusty's saying, I would love to reach out to him and pick his brain or learn more about EOS, or I have some questions for him, how can we get in touch with you?
So number one, you can give me a call. I don't know if it's appropriate to get about my cell phone number here, but feel free to give me a call if you know me.
Is it on your website? You have a
It is on my website. And you can go to the website that's on the screen there, EOSworldwide.com, Rusty-Smith. Or my email address is basically very similar to that. It's Rusty.Smith@EOSworldwide.com. And I'm easy to reach. I'm pretty responsive, except when I go on vacation, I try not to read emails. But so if I don't, so here's the clue. If you call me or email me and I don't answer, assume I'm on vacation and I'll get back to you as soon as I get back.
Eventually get back to everyone. And here's the point that you're talking about. Can I get this in focus here?
You have to hold it in front of your face to do that, I think.
There, is it in focus? There you go. Traction by Gino Wickman. It's Do you recommend this or Rocket Fuel as a starter?
I recommend so Traction is kind of the textbook, right? Probably the second best book I would say if you're interested in learning about EOS is Get a Grip, which is another book that Gino wrote. Get a Grip is written a little bit more in parable form. Traction is a little more textbooky, if you will. Yeah. But both of them kind of give you the whole process, right? Rocket Fuel is really about how a visionary and an integrator work well together, right? So, if you read either Rocket Fuel or, Get a Grip or Traction, you'll learn what a visionary and an integrator are. But the point is there is that every organization needs to have a visionary, somebody that's taking the long range view, and then an integrator, somebody that's managing the day-to-day operations of the business. And if you can get the right combination of those two people, it's like rocket fuel. You can blast off and get anywhere you want to get to. And so that's the premise of Rocket Fuel.
And to bring this all in full circle, it's a relationship built on trust.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you got to build that trust into your organization. Absolutely.
That integrator and visionary relationship is one built on trust as well, which is. Awesome, Rusty. Well, hey, thank you. I know how busy you are. I know how hard it was to nail you down to get you to come on. So I appreciate you taking some time to spend with us today.
Well, I appreciate you having me on today.
And man, I wanted to get you on for a while. So that's good. I'm glad we were able to get it done.
Great.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. We appreciate your support. If you enjoyed the show, we would love it if you could take a moment to leave us a review. And don't forget to subscribe or follow to stay up to date with all the latest episodes as they're released. Discover how Key Hire supports small business owners with talent planning and acquisition by exploring our YouTube channel or LinkedIn page. For comprehensive information, visit our website at www.keyhire.solution. where you can also sign up for a complimentary consultation to discuss any talent, experience, or capacity problems that keep you awake at night. Until next time, stop grinding and start growing.